You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Wednesday's edition of the podcast where we're looking ahead to the action at Haydock, Newcastle and Kempton on Wednesday afternoon. You can tune in to William Hill's Racing Radio live from 1:50pm to hear all of the action from Haydock, Newcastle, Kempton and Warwick in the company of Luke Elder, James Moorman and Andrew Mount on Wednesday. Make sure you tune in to Racing Radio for all of that. Sam Norris here on the podcast today and joining myself is Mr. Seb Sanders. How are you, Seb?
Yeah, good. Good afternoon.
Good stuff. How's things been going lately? You've been riding out again, I believe.
Yeah, I've started riding out and just keep myself busy, really.
Right.
Earning myself some pocket money so I can go and play golf.
Yes, fair enough.
Well, no, it's doing me good to get me fit and get me back in shape. So we see what happens in the future.
Is it potentially going to lead on to a return to the saddle for yourself?
There's no mad rush. I'm just waiting to see what my body tells me.
Right.
But that is my ambition. But we'll see. We'll see what my body tells me.
Okay. Good stuff. Enjoy Cheltenham last week?
I didn't get to watch much, actually.
Right.
The wife kept me busy enough around the
place, wife and so, golf, presumably.
Yeah. I did have a couple of rounds of golf last week, yeah.
Okay, good stuff. There's been a little bit of breaking Grand National news this morning as we record the podcast, Seb, surrounding three of JP McManus's main fancies for the race, starting with Minella Rocco, who finished a staying on second in the Gold Cup at Cheltenham to Sizing John. Had been the 8-1 favourite with us here at William Hill for the showpiece at Aintree. They've announced this morning, John Joe Neal's announced that the horse won't be going for the Grand National. And they're just going to target him at the Gold Cup next year. First of all, what sort of a chance would he have had in your mind for the Grand National were they to leave him in?
Well, I mean, sometimes you know the Gold Cup is as good a trial as any for the National, and I don't know what the stats say, but you've got to be quality horse to run a second in a Gold Cup. But I think the horse probably hasn't come out of the race as well as they'd like because they're not going to run him again at all this season. And, there's punches down on all sorts of big meetings around the corner. So it just read between the lines. It's not a case of planning for next year. I think that something else has dictated that they're planning for next year. But it's disappointing. You always like to see class horses, you know, to take their chance. But, you know, it's not this year for him.
Okay, so it's less of a case for you of them wanting to give the horse an entire campaign to sort of build up to next year's Gold Cup. You think if he was sat, if he'd come out of the race sound, he'd have taken his chance.
If he'd have come out of the race bouncing, he'd quite well have took his chance. But being that they've knocked the whole season on the head, just suggests that he probably hasn't come out of the race as well as he'd like.
Okay, more of that is one horse who ran in the Gold Cup who will be taking his chance come Grand National Day. More of that currently a 20-1 chance. He ran a respectable race in the Gold Cup. So finished about sixth. And again, he has to come into the calculations for the Grand National. You would have thought.
Yeah, you know, he ran a real solid race. But I mean, I just like the horse at the head of the market. He's been around the fences, and he won a very very decent trial, and you know. At the moment, I think he ticks all the boxes, and I think he's handicapped to win a race like that. People forget that it is a handicap at the end of the day, and you know he may not be the best horse in the race, but he's probably as well handicapped as any horse in the race. If that makes any sense.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, the horse in question there, Verlion Rouge of David Pipes, who won obviously at Haydock last time out, beating Black Lion, who's towards the four in the betting. He's won over those national fences as well, Seb, which is just critical. I think we've seen a lot of quote unquote good jumpers in the past who haven't been able to get over those national fences.
It just comes across like he's been absolutely perfectly campaigned for the national. They've had no other race on their mind. They've made sure he's been around the national fences and won the beaches. And, you know, his prep race going into it, he's gone and won it, and he's shown a good bit of stamina. So, you know, come rain or shine, I think he's an outstanding chance. And at that sort of price, he's worth an each way bet, even still, you know. You'd be very disappointed. Obviously, he's got to get round, but you'd be very disappointed if he's out the four.
Yeah, definitely. Ran a pleasing race in the National last year when finishing seventh behind Rule the World was a 66-1 chance last year. And obviously the prep's gone as well as it possibly could have done this year. And as you quite rightly say, I do like a horse who's been fully campaigned with one race in mind.
There was no intention of taking him to Cheltenham or anything like that. And we're talking 6 months of preparation. And, you know, there would have been a big temptation to take this horse to Cheltenham and they haven't taken it. They've just earmarked the national, and you know, all the good handicaps I've won, that horse has been specifically campaigned for that race.
Yeah, I think I'd agree with you there. Verlion Rouge then heads the betting with us here at William Hill. It's 11-1 for the Grand National. It's 14-1 about Definitely Red, 1 for Arthur, 14-1, 16-1 for Black Lion, and Cause of Causes, also last year's runner-up, The Last Samurai, is a 16-1 chance. 20-1 and bigger than the rest. We're just 16 days away from the Grand National. And we're also not too far away from the flat season returning, Seb. Anything you particularly look forward to when we're racing on the level again?
I didn't really see anything that really stood out last year. I've seen some nice horses, but, you know, I can't recommend watching a two-year-old go, wow, you know, there was horses that a pedigree suggested they wouldn't train on and this and that. So I had my reservations for this year. I'm looking forward to the trials, i.e. the Green and the Craven,
yes,
the Fred Darling. You know, that will tell us a hell of a lot about the standard of the three-year-olds this year. But there's no one screaming about any horse at the moment. And it's awfully quiet. And in general, when it's awfully quiet, you know, you're holding your breath for a champion to come out. Are they a great bunch? Are they not? We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, I'm sure those questions will certainly be answered for us. The Dubai World Cup as well coming up on Saturday as well, so a chance to see some of the very best both in this country and further afield going head-to-head. Postponed, obviously looking to bounce back as well in the Shima Classic, and hopefully some horses can run well there and then maybe return to these shores as well.
I always find that the horses that run at the World Cup meeting, they take 2 or 3 months before they recover. I thought Postponed was exceptional last season.
Yes.
Having ran at the World Cup meeting.
And the Roger Verian yard in general last season, postponed aside, it wasn't the greatest year they've ever had.
No, but he, you know, every time he was asked, he turned up. And, I call him old, but it's great to see him keep turning up in all these big races. It takes some doing the travelling.
So, I mean, some horses seem to handle it better. The likes of Highland Reel and Mondi Elise, they seem to, you know, globetrotters, we call them. They go everywhere.
I mean, you know, going back to the likes of Phoenix Reach and whatever, you know, these sort of horses, they seem to take, you know, the travelling really well. There's the horse of Ed Dunlop's Red Cado.
Oh, yes, yeah, of course.
He earned an absolute fortune travelling aboard.
Yes.
And he could never have earned that money in the UK. And he probably wasn't quite a Group 1 horse in the UK, but he certainly made up for it abroad. And he ran stoutly in the Melbourne Cup a few times.
Yeah, two or three occasions.
You know, you need a certain type of horse to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's turn our attention on to Wednesday's racing now then. We've got four races picked out on the podcast. We'll begin with action over the obstacles at Haydock. We've got a chase coming up over 2.5 miles at 3:10. It's a novices limited handicap. It's attracted a field of five here, Seb, but to be fair, the entire quintet arrive here in great heart.
Yeah, I thought this was a real tricky race, and I'm just going to state the obvious. I mean, the great thing is there's loads of pace in the race. You've got Wolf Sword and Clan Legend that can go on. So I don't think they'll hang around. And I think it'll just play into Buttercup's hand. I thought it'd been steadily improving. And I thought this was a great opportunity over a distance and ground, hopefully, that that will suit. And Buttercup will be my selection there.
Okay, Buttercup then, who arrives here with a £7 penalty for Venetia Williams, bidding for the hat-trick in that 2.5 mile chase at Haydock Park coming up at 3:10. We go over to action on the Tappeter now then at Newcastle, beginning with the 3:30. We've got a stayers handicap coming up here. It's a Class 2 event. There's a good bit of prize money on offer as well for a midweek meeting at Newcastle. Racing over 2 miles here, Seb, which we don't see all the time on the flat, so stamina is very much the order of the day here.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of course and distance runners at Newcastle, and I think good run is in a great vein of form, and I think he'll take all the beating. He should be plenty fit enough. The horse that takes your eye and could be an each way selection is Swashbuckler for Andrew Baldwin. Has ran really well fresh, and could turn up and make a good show. So I'm going to go good run and each way on Swashbuckle.
Okay, good run then for win purposes there for Godolphin inside Vince Rort. And Swashbuckle gets the each way nod for Andrew Balding and Ashin Murphy in that Newcastle 3:30. We stay at Newcastle then for racing an hour later on the card. Their 4:30 is a handicap over 6 furlongs, a similar amount of prize money. But it is, of course, the sprinters in action this time. Seb, what caught your eye here?
Well, you've got Tomilly and Wick Powell at a pace, and Tomilly's drawn 1 and Wick Powell's drawn 7. And Wick Powell, for 3 lengths of beaten Hemingway, is £8 worse off than Hemingway, and Hemingway's drawn right next to him. And it sticks out like a sore thumb. Hemingway must have an outstanding chance, especially with Wick Powell drawn on his outside. He can just track it. And I think at the weight has an outstanding chance. I'm going to go Hemingway.
Okay, the bottom weight there, Hemingway getting the nod for Kevin Ryan. Joe Doyle doing the steering on board that one, and could well be a big price as well. We go to Kempton Park for the final race on today's podcast then. This is their 7:45. Another 6 furlong handicap for us to assess here. Class 4, the grade, so we don't quite have the talent on show that we did perhaps for our last 6 furlong handicap. But someone's got to win this race, Seb.
Yeah, well, Artscape won a maiden. I didn't think it was a great maiden, but it hadn't ran for a long time. So you'd expect that to improve. It's in and off a stiff enough mark, but could, you know, if it's a big enough price, it'd be worth an each way shout. But I thought the horse that you know, off all the form, I thought Under Siege looks ready to win, and you know, can turn it round with Florinico. So I'm going to go with Under Siege. But you know, Artscape is one to watch. I think it's enough a stiff enough mark, but I think it'll improve massively for the run.
Okay, Under Siege then for win purposes in that race, but do keep an eye on Artscape down the bottom on handicap debut for Dean Ivory. But Under Siege getting the nod in that 7:45 for Seb Sanders. Just quickly remind us, please, if you would, Seb, your 4 selections for the action that we've looked at on Wednesday.
Buttercup, and then I had a good run with Swashbuckle each way, and then Hemingway in the 4:30 at Newcastle, and then I had Under Siege and keep your eye on Artscape in the 7:45 at Kempton.
Excellent stuff. There we are then, thoughts of Seb Sanders ahead of Wednesday's racing, and you can hear it all live on William Hill's Racing Radio from 1:50 p.m. on Wednesday afternoon with Luke Elder, James Millman and Andrew Mount in the studio for Warwick, Haydock and Newcastle in the afternoon, in Kempton Park the evening meeting. Thank you very much for that, Seb. Best of luck and enjoy the racing on Wednesday.
Thank you very much.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.